Hi guys, this is Dennis with 21 Gram Speaks. I'm really excited to have my friend on today, Michelle. Michelle is actually the same name as my fiance. And yeah, so I immediately like you. That's awesome. Michelle, do you mind introducing yourself to the audience so that they know who they're listening to?
It would be my pleasure. Wow, your fiance sounds awesome already. You're a lucky man.
She's pretty cool.
Like you said, my name is Michelle Greckney. I am an owner of two businesses. One is an online retail shop called East Coast Tags. We do colorless pride apparel, and the other is Brevard Screen Printing that does wholesale custom screen printing for local businesses and other businesses around the area, which is how we found each other through one of
Yeah.
those social channels for one of my businesses.
I know exactly how we found each other. So, I found you. I was a fan of the stuff that you were putting out on TikTok, and it was East Coast Tags. And the way that you described the colorless pride thing and the imagery immediately like that just drew me in. I'm like, okay, this is the way that I can participate in my what's it called? My outreach into the LGBTQ community. And so we kind of started talking. We were talking about doing a collaboration, and to be honest, things just got crazy and overwhelming. I almost had a little bit of a breakdown in my business, and I kind of reached out to you, let you know what was going on. And so it's just right now, it's just on the back burner. We're going to be doing something. The thing that we did discuss turned out so awesome. I'm so like
Thank you.
I was so stoked to see you kind of push through with that project. Do you mind explaining what the project is and the
Sure.
meaning behind it? Because I think that it's so fucking cool and I love it.
Yeah, thanks, man. It was a design that just kind of popped into my head after we spoke about doing something together, and the way that we spoke on the phone and the art styles that we both have are very similar. I think you have a bit more of a advanced version of what I do, but you've been in it longer,
Right.
so I'll let you have that for now.
I love
I
it.
really wanted a piece that we could work on together and still be one whole finished product at the end of the day. So my hope was one face, and I'd been working on traditional panthers at the time, so that was where I first started. And then so that they could be distinct, I figured two separate animals that still had somewhat of the same face shape, so a panther and a tiger. And that evolved into I wanted to be able to present the whole transition from one animal to the next. So that's how it ended up in nine separate pieces that slowly transitioned from a panther to a tiger. And I think I explained to you, I tried to find the text message. Unfortunately, I couldn't because I worded it. I liked the way I worded it there. All the pieces that I create, I try to have some kind of underlying message of support for the LGBTQ plus community. The first one that I ever did that took off was the Here for Your Phobia t-shirt, which has a
Oh
group
God,
in group.
so awesome.
Thank
So
you.
awesome. So
I love
awesome.
that design. And it doesn't say anything about one specific facet of the community. It could be representative of any individual piece. Phobia could be taken as transphobia, homophobia. People have their own phobias within the community. A lot of other segments don't always agree with what the other segments are doing. It's a whole thing. So I wanted it to be as umbrellaed as possible so anybody could see themselves in the design. And then for this one, I think it most obviously relates to the trans community within the LGBTQIA group. But I think it could still be applicable to anybody, period. But within our community, we're all going through different developments. There's this concept that I heard recently of the delayed timeline of somebody in our community. And that's because a lot of the media that at least my generation, probably yours too, grew up with was you go to college, you have your partner, you get married, you find a job, maybe not exactly in that order, but pretty quickly, those are
Right.
the things that you're supposed to be doing. You have a kid, and that's the order, and it happens one right after the other is how it's kind of portrayed to us. And so as a gay kid that's trying to figure out where they fit into that piece, they often delay the marriage, one, because they couldn't find a partner because they weren't out or they didn't know they could be, or the laws have changed. They weren't always allowed to get married. So that
Right.
got put off. Having the kids got put off because it takes a lot more funds to have a child as a same-sex
Right.
couple. It takes a lot more planning. Can't just accidentally happen. You have to be committed to it. So all of those events that have all these extra details that you have to consider about them, those timelines get pushed off. So we are going through many additional changes as we figure out how to be in a society that hasn't always been very friendly towards us.
I have so many questions for you, and we kind of touch
I know
bases on
it was a lot.
this. No, it's perfect. We kind of touch bases on this before we hit record, and I wanted to hit record as quickly as possible because I don't want to miss any of this conversation. Because one, it's super duper important to me, and I had mentioned that I'm a pretty progressive person, very, very liberal socially. Economically, sometimes yes, sometimes no, but socially, I'm super, super liberal. And my wanting to talk to you for, I mean, one as an artist, one as a business owner, that I mean, we could spend a whole series, like a whole weekend of
Sure.
straight podcasting. But I just want to touch bases on this. And just so the audience knows, I got the okay. I don't know a lot. Like I don't know as much as I would like to be a good ally. Like it's important to me that I can be the best representation of someone that wants to support a community that I'm not necessarily a part of. I'm a straight white Christian male in the United States, which is the easiest
Oh.
genre of human being. And I got the easiest, I was born into the easiest possible thing on planet Earth. And well, some people might tell you that it's the hardest thing, right? Like there's this
Other straight white men will tell
yeah, other straight white men, but I'm realistic. I know it's the easiest. And so there's not all the, you know, that there's not as much exposure as I suppose would naturally happen. And so that's the reason why I want to address some of these things, like I said, so that I can be see, I feel like I'm like pussyfooting around words because I don't want to even come off remotely offensive. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that I want to be a person that has more knowledge about it. That I guess that's the way to sum it up. Like I want to know what I can do to be more informed, and knowledge is power, and I believe that I can be more effective to be a person of tolerance and a person of equality. That's the biggest thing for me.
I appreciate that a lot. And I think by asking those questions, and I know it's hard to say the right thing. It's easy to say the wrong thing when you don't know what the right thing is.
Right.
But at the end of the day, all we're really trying to do is create a safe space for people to be themselves. And that it starts with our language, it starts with the questions that we're asking and the ways that we're allowing other people to show up in those spaces. So it starts, and these are things that I'm still learning too.
Yeah.
I do not have all the answers. I'll just put that out there first. But one of the things that is very helpful is acknowledging someone's pronouns. That's a very obvious first step. And that's a, like I said, something I'm still getting used to because it's just becoming part of normal conversation these days, which is great. It's wonderful because it gives people a chance to let their guard down a little bit more, offer
Right.
people themselves that they probably otherwise wouldn't, and know that the person that they're talking with, it has their best interest in mind. So it just creates a better environment for everybody. So the ways that you can approach that to be a good ally is to know that it is now your responsibility to make sure that other people in the environment are acting accordingly as well. So if you hear one of your friends say something that's a little off color or not what you would, if you recognize that somebody is acting in a way that you would know someone else would be offended by. You're not offended by it because it doesn't affect you, but you're aware that other realities exist. Even if it's not in the presence of somebody that would be offended by that, call them out on it. It's uncomfortable and it's hard, but it's one of the better things that we all can be doing.
It's interesting that you say that. There's two points that I just want to touch bases on is one, I have friends that I still talk to quite a bit from, like good friends that I still talk to from junior high. And when I was in junior high, which I'm turning 40 next year, so you do the math, dropping, the F word, FAG, that was just like saying, oh, you suck at this, or you're not good at this, or you're whatever. I don't think that it was ever interpreted in a way then, at least for me in my heart, that it was a dig at homosexual people, right? That was never my intention. But now when I hear that at all, it just ma it makes me like shrivel inside, especially when another friend would say something like that. Like I'm just like, and I immediately like, hey dude, you can't, don't say that, you know what I mean? Like straight up. And it's the same way that I feel about people. Before, I used to be a pretty passive anti-racist. Now there's nothing pa passive about it. I'm just like, hey, don't be a racist around me, or I'm not going to be around you, because it's that those two things are so important to me. And it takes, I think, a lot of courage for people to just be able to be super blunt about it with people that are close to them, that maybe aren't expecting the like outbursts, like, hey, don't say that shit. Like, don't say that around me. And I think I have some like some guilt from even back then, things that were said on both of those topics, that when I was a kid, which I don't think the same way as I do in junior high, but there's this sense of I don't know, like I feel this continuous need to apologize.
I'm making up for it now.
Yeah, and I feel like obviously like I'm somebody that dealt with addiction and then got sober, and for the last 3 years I've had to sort out my guilt of what I did as an addict. Now as a sober person, I'm kind of building up to the point where it's like, okay, I got all the closets, or all the skeletons, out of the closet. I addressed all of these things. Time for me to forgive myself. The same way with the thought process that I had, again, I laugh, in junior high, because I'm not that person anymore. And yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I even talked to my therapist about this, like, because I'm a straight white male, I almost feel like I want to stick up for people in marginalized groups, just to cast a wide net, like more, because I'm none of them. I'm not part of any kind of marginalized group, but I still, to this day, I feel guilt, like secondhand guilt from people, or not from guilt, because of people that look like me. And that's a weird thing. I mean, it's a livable thing. It's not like a ongoing thing, but
Right.
yeah.
But that's what it means to be a good ally, is to use whatever privilege that you have. I mean, you're white, I'm white, so that gives us certain privileges. You're a man, I'm a woman,
Sure.
but even still being a white woman, I have certain privileges that other people don't. So it means using those, whatever rooms we are allowed in currently that other people aren't, is to hold the door open for those people to come in. And they can
Right.
do that in many different ways. And it can be aggressive in terms of just bluntly saying, hey, cut the shit. When you hear it actively happening in person, and it happens in other ways like this, very passively, that you hope will sustain and maybe inspire somebody else, and it builds over time. So you're doing a great job.
Thank you. I think that that's important to me, especially with this podcast. Whether it's 12 people that hear it or 12,000 people that hear it, is that this is my third iteration of a podcast. The first one was on Instagram. It was just lives, like, and it was good. It was a good way for me to cut my teeth and kind of get an understanding of how to hold a conversation. And then the first version of this podcast, which was still very tame in the sense of conversation. It was a lot just focused around the maker community And this one, I had a political analyst, I had my former youth pastor, I've had people, and I intend to keep having people from incredibly different backgrounds so that people that might tune into the one podcast will like let it keep on playing and get bounce back to something that might, you know what I mean? Like if you let YouTube keep on going, all of a sudden you come back into the room and you hear something that you may not have heard or be inspired by it. But yeah, that I mean, that's something that's important to me. That a question that I have is if I refer to the community as the LGBTQ community, then there's this is going to sound so shitty, and I don't if another letter is added to that, is it my requirement to add the letter to it? I know that sounds so shitty. When it comes out of my mouth, I promise you it's
It
coming from
doesn't
like
sound shitty.
a
I
pure
promise.
place. I don't know. It's my ignorance, I guess.
It's your ignorance and it's mine that we both share because I will go back and forth between LGBTQIA plus, and to be honest, I need to do a quick Google search. I don't know what the exact answer is in this moment either. I think as long as you try your best, and if somebody corrects you in the moment because they're more educated than you are, then that's what you roll with. But as far as I'm concerned right now, we're a goddamn Google password.
I think that what you just said, like go with it in the moment, and if somebody can corrects you, I'm probably paraphrasing this, but like if someone corrects you, then take the steps to kind of adapt to it, especially with that individual. And I think that that's the proper way because there's no way that all of us are going to know everything. Like even like what you said, like referring to people's pronouns, if I were to address like this is so weird because I was thinking about this right before we started this. I'm like, Michelle, that's a woman's name. Do I refer to you as a woman? Do I introduce you as they, them? Do I ask you, what do I do? Then I just let you introduce yourself because I don't want to like, and I've been in that situation. A guest that I had on a previous podcast later said that I misgendered them. And it like hurt my heart. Like I'm like I can't apologize enough. Like I don't even know what I said. Like it wasn't that it was coming from like being malicious.
Of course. I mean, people can feel your intentions. That matters. And then at the end of the day, if somebody feels strongly enough about it, it's their responsibility to let you know, hey, these are the gender pronouns that I'm going by. Other than that, I would say outside the context of this and just general life engagements, feel out the space. What are other people doing? If you're the third person to introduce yourself and the two people that have gone ahead of you have said, hi, my name is John, he, him. Hi, my name is Beth, she, they. Then you would also, hi, my name is Dennis, he, him, or whatever it is that you are. You would just do it. It's not going to hurt anybody.
That's just good communication, like skills. That
People are.
you're just telling me something that I should actually already know, which is funny. And when it comes to like pronouns, I hear a lot of boomers, like my dad's generation and older, they're like, oh my God, there's all these pronouns. Or if I mean you hear conservatives like, oh, my pronoun is, kick your ass or some bullshit like that. And I'm like, I've never been confronted with that situation, really, aside from that one situation that I just mentioned. But like, it's not like I'm getting stopped on the street and somebody be, and I live in California. You live in New York, right?
North Carolina
North Carolina. Okay. So I live in a very, very liberal state, and you would imagine that there would just be people walking down the way that it's described. There's people walking down the street pointing at you, telling you you're doing everything wrong. Like, I've never even been in that situation. So it's like, who are you guys hanging out with? Like, what's going on? It's so weird to me.
It is weird. I don't know why people get so mad about it. I know it's one more thing to do and one more thing to be aware of and cognitively aware of when we're all tired at the end of the day and have so much brain space, but I really don't think it hurts anybody. And it definitely doesn't hurt you to learn about someone else's experience and to give validation to somebody else's experience. And I think that's probably the underlying thing that I've seen when someone goes, ugh, if all this stuff these days, when really it's, not that it's happening these days, it's just that it's becoming more safe to talk about. It's not that they're all of a sudden are these gay people. It's that these people now feel safe to be exposed and to be aware of. It's not that people have different pronouns. It's that one, they have language to describe how they feel about themselves. And two, it becomes more safe to have that conversation. So it's not that it all of a sudden exists. We just now
Right.
have language in the space to talk about it.
Two things that come to mind is number one, is that, oh, sorry, is that I never feel like it's all that hard to be respectful towards someone. So if that's if they want to identify as a certain way, if they want to be called something, if they want to be called something else, like a first name that isn't, whatever it is, I never feel like it's putting me out to just show respect to them. And that's what I don't understand about people. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. Like it takes you more effort to be disrespectful to someone. And you also got to live with that. Like, when you're disrespectful to someone and you treat someone like shit, they go on that, it sucks for them, but like, that's your character. You have to live with your own character, and that's shitty for you.
You would think. I think it's a lot of lack of self-awareness, which is unfortunate, which is good for conversations like this. Maybe it'll bring a little bit more awareness to somebody else going, oh, I hadn't thought about it like that. I
Right.
think that's all our responsibilities is just to keep having the conversations, hoping that it does trigger something in someone's mind, like, oh, I have done that. Am I the problem?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
Yeah, and
You don't have
sometimes
to say the problem.
I think that it does take time, like generations sometimes, for people to adopt terms and adopt societal norms with people, right? So like think of African American people, all of the different words that were socially acceptable to identify them to where we're at this point. And there's still our grandparents, our great grandparents that have no problem saying certain things that they say. And then the people in their lives, their loved ones, excuse it like, oh, well, that was fine when they were young. Well, they're not young anymore. Like, also, the telephone wasn't invented. So do they not use a telephone now because it wasn't invented? Like, get with the times. It's so crazy to me. And my biggest fear is seeing, I'm very into politics, whether it's like national politics or if it's even more like global geopolitics. I'm very, very much into it. And what scares the shit out of me right now is seeing all of these crazy like anti-gay, anti-trans, anti everything when it comes to that community, like laws being passed, and it feels like we're in a time machine going back in time, and I can't speak to it, right? Like it's a weird thing where it bums me out so much, but I'm not directly affected by it in my household right here, where someone like you would be. How does that make you feel, and where do you see it going? Because it's scary to me to live in a country where equality isn't equal.
It's not. When you have to talk about why two groups should be equal, that automatically lets you know that they're not. So for someone to say that anything is not the case is just false. It is scary, like you said, and it's scary as a woman, it's scary as a gay woman, it's scary as somebody that wants to get married and has the potential for that marriage to be illegitimized by a organization, by my government. And these are things that I've had to talk with my therapist about too, because and we're still going through, I think, at least in the media, the drag shows being targeted. It pops up on my social media, which is more to say about me than because the algorithms are so specific. When that was first coming into the media and it got at a very high volume as far as what I was seeing, that caused me a lot of physical anxiety and worry. And so I had to talk with her about that, come up with tools, mechanisms that I could use to relieve myself and bring me back to the present, realize, okay, there's nothing I can do about that in this moment other than think of how I can be a good ally and a good supporter of my community as well. So politically, I am scared, but I'm also positive as far as the things that I see in my specific community. And I think that at the very end of the day, all that we really can do is focus on what is directly around us. So for the small community that I'm in, the very small southern town that I'm in, actually has a good liberal force about it because there are so many transplants, which is great. And there are organizations, there's Rainbow Alliance, which is around where I'm at, which is full of a lot of elder gays and just wonderful people that want to see people live a safe and happy life. We don't want a whole revolution where other people are forced to deal with what we're dealing with. We just want to be safe and be happy and also legitimized as people in the eyes of our government.
I think that that's something that is so frustrating to me with the friends that I have within the gay community is that they just want to be left alone, really. It's not so much that they want to be it, none of them want to be treated special. They already are being treated special in a negative way. They just want to be equal. And they're human beings. They inhabit the same earth suit that we have, right? Like,
I love that earth suit.
what
Makes sense.
why is that so difficult for people to just not treat them like shit? And to me, it's crazy. I think of, like, the spike in hate crimes. Whether it was with Asians during the coronavirus, whether it's with, Hispanics when there's this big outrage over immigration right now, trans people, drag queens, because of conservative media. Like, it just is what it is. You don't really hear a lot of liberal outlets suggesting that liberals should go physically harm someone. You don't see, like, I don't know, whatever. And to me, it's so frustrating. And when I see neo-Nazis outside of, like, drag queen things, I contact my friends who are conservatives, and I'm like, look, man, if neo-Nazis are on your side of a topic, you're fucked up, man. Like, if you guys share the same ideology that you have neo-Nazis defending what you believe in, that's not cool. Like, you're on the
That's
wrong
a sneaky
side.
out.
You're on the wrong side of an ideology. And, it sparks a lot of heated debate. And hopefully I'll have a few of my conservative friends on. Like I said, I grew up in youth group, and my spiritual life is rapidly changing. Not necessarily in a negative way. It's just changing. And but yeah, I mean, it's just crazy to me, because I think that looking at, I guess, people that are within the gay community, they can't just turn it off. Where if I wear a shirt out in public that's like an anti-fascist shirt, or a anti-racist shirt, or a pro equality shirt, I could go out and not wear that shirt and not have any issues, right? Like, you can't take away, you can't remove your sexuality like I can remove a shirt. And I think that to maybe subconsciously, that's the reason why I want to wear those shirts, because, one, I want to see if someone will fuck with me, and it would suck for them. And two, I don't know. Like, it's part of that guilt. Now we're getting into therapy talk, but whatever.
No, I definitely understand that guilt. And believe it or not, I grew up in the Christian church too, so I had a lot of unlearning, self-hatred unlearning to do, growing up thinking this is the one and it's the only way, and also having that internal conflict of, but this is a thing about me that no matter what I do and try, it's not going anywhere.
Right.
So
There's
that was a
no
battle in itself.
that there's no camp you can go to where they're going to exercise that demon out of you.
No.
It's sad. Yeah, I still, like I said, I still have a couple friends that either we avoid the conversation or we have it and we don't talk for 3 months after it, and then ease back into things. Because I have to come to the realization that there's people that are equally, if not more, passionate about their thoughts that are the opposite of mine as I am about mine. And not everyone's going to be the same.
Not everyone's going to be the same. Not everyone's going to be willing to change. But I think as long as people are able to talk respectfully, then we're all headed in a good direction. I don't think I'm 100% right on all of my views. I relearn things and I unlearn things all the time. Things that I thought were 100% correct. Get this. I had an ex-girlfriend who is still now a very, very close friend. She's wonderful. Yeah. And we talk about this every now and then, because she did deal with me during the real height of my devotion towards Christianity. And how she did for as many years as she did is beyond me, because she grew up the exact opposite as I did. And I actually told her to her face, yeah, I think you're going to hell. And she looked back at me and went, well, aren't you coming with me? And I, well, no, because, and I was out of line in every respect possible. And I've apologized for that. Now it's a funny story between us, but that's one of those weird places where it did take years and a lot of controversy and conflict between the two of us to be able to find common ground. And sometimes it does take hindsight. You know, you don't always get to the result that you want the first conversation. It takes a couple, or it takes many.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I was in the same boat where I felt the same way in a lot of sense, where like, oh, well, you know, it says in the Bible, a man shouldn't lie with a man like he does a woman. Like, and then once I got older and I was able to not just take the word of leaders within the church, but actually do the research, and also like the research of how this became such a hot topic within politics and the Christian community, then I realized that it's more of a game of telephone than it is biblical. It's people saying what they don't like and justifying their hate towards someone by quoting a single Bible verse, and they forget the one before that says do not eat shellfish, or the one after that says don't wear mixed linen, all of these different things, because those, they're unable to gear their hatred to someone, or they can't be like, well, I'm not going to eat shrimp anymore, and anyone that does, I'm going to go in front and you know, in front of the seafood restaurant and protest the people that are coming in, and you know, call those people that are eating lobster groomers of children. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not, that's not it, right? Like,
it does get pretty wild out there. Yeah,
It's wild, but I think that you're doing something special where you're able to, with your artwork, you're able to tap into something that is not traditional LGBTQ support looking. That was a long way of saying you have a very cool alternative look and support within that community. And I think it's so fucking cool.
That was also long-winded. Both of those were long-winded.
Yeah, they always are.
And I need to switch what I say every now and then, because I say colorless pride apparel, but I should say mostly, because obviously we've got some color in some of our designs. Sure. And it's really cool that it came about in hindsight, because I made up that design kind of by accident, as far as it being just one color print. It was more of a time frame issue for me making the design and then being able to print it live. I knew that was going to be a challenge if it was multicolors. And then realizing that there was a need for this, as far as not everybody likes rainbows. I'm somebody that doesn't really like to wear rainbows. It's just not part of how I want to be presented into a room. It's nothing that I'm hiding about myself, but it's not the first thing that I need people to know about me. Because there is so much more to me than just that. So there's that piece where I just don't necessarily like wearing them all the time, unless it's a pride event. And then there's the other piece where, okay, it could come down to safety. If you're walking around and somebody says something that is outlandish, or if somebody then decides to physically act. But then there's the third piece of it that was surprising and very cool that people would say, well, what does this mean? And that was a moment that you don't really get with other pieces of Pride apparel. Like, obviously, everybody knows what a trans flag looks like. Everyone knows what a rainbow flag looks like. A lot of people are learning what the lesbian flag looks like. It's just these different colors that we're seeing over and over again. And we already have these associations with them. So when someone sees the Here for Your Phobia design and they don't quite get it at first, or they see the Be Who You Needed Back Then t-shirt, it
So
leaves
epic.
a
So
moment for
epic.
conversation. Thank you.
I think that that is all of the stuff isn't, I mean, it's relatable to anyone, especially, I mean, even just within the like mental health, community, all of the things, the changes thing, the like, death to your, to your phobias or, be the person, everything that your brand represents is not just geared towards, the LGBTQ community, but also I think almost anyone could relate to that. Like anyone could relate to
Yeah.
that stuff, which question for you then is, do you feel like your because of that your market is larger than just a community as far as the LGBTQ community, or do you think that you're able to get people like myself that isn't directly in the community that just want to support. And I wear all black everything. I'm not going to wear like a rainbow or like, I'm just not going to. It's not that I'm ashamed of it. It's just that like,
Right.
that's just not my the way I dress. It's not part of my
And you
style.
might, if you happen to stumble across a big Pride event and you
Oh,
want that one
sure.
day because it fits
Right.
in. But yeah, for
I
the
would
most you
wear
wear.
anything. I would wear anything that you put out because it's that fucking cool. It's that
Thank
cool.
you. I
Yeah.
appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think it does open the door for it to possibly reach other markets, which is cool because then hopefully the descriptions that I put out and the way that I try to describe where the design inspiration came from, hopefully that can seep into the conversation at some point. Maybe it will when they see it on the website, or maybe, I don't know, somebody will say, hey, I saw that somewhere, and they'll remember where the origin story of it came from. So I think as long as it comes back to that, art always has the chance to evolve and be placed in conversations you didn't expect it. And I think that that's a really cool piece of the internet and of art in general. So I'm open to that happening. I kind of hope it does,
Yeah.
because maybe then it could lead back and then continue the conversation on. But either way, I think it's not something I intended, but it's a really cool result of what's been happening.
That makes me happy. It
Thanks.
makes me really happy because, like I said, from the very beginning, I just one, I love your artwork and the way that you're able to, I mean, I love traditional tattoos, obviously. I've was a tattoo
Yeah.
artist for almost 15 years. Now my whole brand is around it. So when I see something like what you're doing, it immediately jumps. It jumps out at me because I don't just like that. I don't just put that imagery on everything because I think it's going to sell. Like it's just the way I draw. It's the way that
Yeah.
the kind of artwork that I like, and it's always been that way. So to see the artwork that you make, it's like it's so cool to me. Like, I just think that you do a really good job. Take the message away from it, and it's still really, really cool artwork. Then add the message behind it. Then it's like it just comes together. And yeah, I'm a huge fan of you as a human being, but also the artwork that you do and the brand and your message that you're putting out. I think it's fantastic.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate your artwork too. And I have a little bit of a confession. In the
What's
beginning
that?
of this, you said that you found me. To actually be exact, I found you first, but
Oh.
I didn't reach out. I didn't. It when you originally reached out, and I went to check out your page, and I went, oh, no shit, I actually saw this guy. I don't think I officially followed you yet because when I find new artists, I'm generally a creep for a couple months, and then
Yeah.
eventually I'll follow. So I did recognize your
Oh,
stuff. I thought
rad.
that that was so cool. But again, it's the same thing. I like that artwork, whether it then gets tied into some kind of message that I can use for the business, and hopefully promote a conversation and also make a couple bucks here and there. I was already drawing that stuff anyway, and I would be regardless. It's just how I decompress and the stuff that I like. So I think that's also a really cool piece of art in general, is that you just like what you like. There
Yeah.
doesn't really have to be a deeper meaning other than that.
I always look at it like if I'm on hold waiting to make a doctor's appointment, which, if anyone knows me, is the most anxiety-ridden thing that I could possibly do,
The
is
worst.
make a doctor's appointment. I don't know what it is. I just hate it. But if I'm doodling on a piece of paper, whatever, waiting on hold, that's the kind of stuff I feel the most comfortable and the most like drawn to as far as artwork goes. So if I can step back and refine, I mean, this is since I was a kid, like forever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I made a whole career out of that. I was like, oh man, this is what I want to do forever. And you know, I've had different seasons within art, and different chapters to not art, you know, hanging rain gutters in Hawaii or mowing lawns or making pizza or whatever. But I feel just like you, Michelle, that if you're an artist, you're never gonna not be that. There's no way that you can do not be something that you already are. Right?
Exactly.
Full circle. That's what we're
Full
doing. We're full
circle.
circling back to the
Love that.
beginning of this conversation. So yeah, I think that that's maybe the way people can look at even the LGBT community and people that maybe they have in their families, that if you are an artist, if you are a lesbian, if you are this, you always were, and this is something that you're going to, like, you can pretend like you don't want to be an artist, but you still are inside of you.
It's just going to eat at your soul and probably cause indigestion.
Right,
That was one of the
exactly.
things that, I don't know why it took me as many years as it did, but about 2 years ago, I finally, and I've gone back and forth with Christianity many, many, many times
Yeah.
because it was the foundation of how I grew up. So it's something I always felt like I knew and I understood. And I listened to different pastors' takes on homosexuality because growing up, it was, you're going to hell, you're done.
Yeah.
And then the arguments got put forth, well, maybe it's not the sin, but it's the act of. It's not that you are, it's that you participate in physical acts. And so that's a perspective that always drove me kind of mad, is to then, okay, well, even if that is the case, how about you put yourself in my shoes for about 2 seconds, and you as a straight man, try to never have physical or romantic feelings for a woman ever again. Just try for
Yeah.
like 5 seconds. It's a good thought experiment. And oh, you can't? That's
And
crazy.
if you do, you're going to hell. So you're going to constantly be in fear your entire life. And that's, it's funny you say that, because
I am.
I've never gone so much back and forth. I just always had a strong feeling towards Christianity. It's only more so recently when I think of one, the guilt that is instilled was instilled in me about everything, whether it was listening to music that wasn't Christian music, whether it was imagery that was dark imagery, whatever it is, and then also the constant fear that if you stepped on a crack, you were going to hell. I don't want to live in constant fear, and I don't want to live in constant guilt. So I'm just gonna be me. And if that's not good enough for God, then maybe I would never was, you know? Like I guess that's the way that I look at it more so. And it's more the people than the faith that I don't like anymore. It's the
That is a
people.
good point. It is it's the people, like you were alluding to earlier, that chose this verse to listen to and to tell other people how to live their lives by, but don't take the rest of the verses and live their lives by. So people do cherry pick to fit their perspective and the lens that they see the world through. And that is, it's a very detrimental and harmful thing for other people when that is the case. So I would agree that it's a lot of the people and the message that has been telephoned. I liked that analogy that you used,
Yeah.
down the line up until now, because I'm sure it had a very different feel back in the day, but it also had a very different political system that it was associated with back in the day. So it's always had its agenda, is a word I don't necessarily like using because it gets used against us so many times, but it is appropriate in certain situations where people use it to fit their agenda. Yeah, the way that they're trying to make the world fit what they're understanding. And it's harmful. It's not.
It's harmful. How can you say that you're a part of a faith of love, yet use the book that was supposed to be the like blueprint to love others to hate people? Like that to me, it just it's not accurate, and it's the people that that have taken such a beautiful faith of love and caring and compassion towards homeless people, to immigrants, to all of these different sick people. And then it's like, you know, if you're homeless, you're lazy, so get up and do whatever. If you're an immigrant, don't come here, even though it's spoken the opposite. Or if you're sick, well, don't be lazy, go get a job so you could pay incredibly high prices for healthcare. Like it's all so backwards that it just frustrates me. But I, again, Michelle, I could go on and on and on. So what that means is you have to come back. That's all. You
I
have to
would love
come
a
back.
round two. Yeah.
That would be awesome. We only have a few minutes. We got to cut this one a little bit short, but two things. Can you tell us what we can, the people that actually care about equality, that care about protecting a community that we might not be directly inside of, what we can do better? And number two, can you plug everything and tell everyone where they can go find your stuff and buy at least three shirts at minimum?
At minimum, the ways that you can be a good ally, like I said before, and this is something that I am working on myself, is when you are in a room that you are allowed in because of how you look, because of your sexual orientation, because of your gender, you are then responsible for finding a way to hold the door open for other people to come into those rooms, whether it's how you let other people speak around you, the tolerance that you have for the language that other people are using, or if you're just kicking the door down yourself. So it starts with asking, how can, the same way that you just did, when you're with somebody that you know is different from you, how can I be a good representation for you? I think is probably the best first step. So even today, for an example, when I was in a room of a bunch of people much older than I am, all white, and someone started to say something that I had a little bit of a problem with. And he didn't quite get to finish his sentence, and the room shifted very quickly to a different conversation. I was very close to saying, "Hey, not cool." And
Yeah.
I don't know if that's exactly how I would have said it. He didn't get a chance to finish the sentence, but I knew where it was going. And maybe in a different circumstance, I would have brought it up again later in a safer environment where someone does have the opportunity to learn. I think there are instances where someone's not going to learn, they're not going to change, and you can just shame them in public. And maybe shame is enough to make somebody stop doing what they're doing. And then there's other relationships that you want to preserve, and you can be a little bit more kind and candorous and slow to leading them to change. And that's just something you have to feel out for yourself individually.
I think that there's some people that are listening to this and will hear what you just said and be like, well, see, that's cancel culture. You got to just, you know, this person saying you just need to get in their face and tell them it's not cool and all of that stuff. Me, I'm a huge, I say this all the time, cancer culture is not really a thing. It's just, it's consequences for being a dick. So if someone says, hey, you're being a dick, that doesn't mean that they're canceling you. It means you're being a dick. They don't think it's appropriate that you talk that way in front of them. You can talk that way wherever you want to, but calling somebody out for being a dick doesn't mean that they're being canceled. And if you're a company that supports certain things, that's capitalism, baby. Like what do you want? Like if you then canceling a company isn't a thing.
It's capitalism.
It's capitalism. So
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where it gets me, man, I love these conversations so much because it's something I'm so passionate about. But we just
Yeah.
don't have enough time this time. Michelle, tell everyone where they can go, your Instagram, your TikTok, all of the things, and your website so they can go support you by picking up a shirt.
I appreciate that a lot, and I'm
Of
sorry we have
course.
to be short.
No,
Anyway,
it's all good.
East Coast Tags everything. East Coast Tags, TAGS, it's plural. Yes, we did used to sell tags. Now we sell shirts.
Okay.
So TikTok, Instagram, that's also the website, eastcoasttags.com. Those are the big three that I would say. And thank you so much for having me today. This has
Of
been great.
course. We're going to get you back on. We'll schedule something in the next few weeks to get you back on. I have a whole schedule coming up, but I just want to kind of take on this conversation. I'm going to probably be hitting you up about printing my next batch of shirts. I want to do something for winter, a long sleeve. Think like old metal, something down the sleeve, something hopefully like very black metal looking on the front. Yeah, that kind of look. So I want to get something made up for winter, and hopefully we can get you to screen print them.
All right. Hopefully
I
we can get
appreciate you.
a wallet made too.
Hey, I got more time than I got money, so let's do some trading.
I like that. I like that idea a lot.
It'll be
Okay.
good. All right, Michelle, I appreciate you. Everyone that's listening, I appreciate you guys for listening. Yeah, I hope you guys will join us next week. We're going to keep on having conversations similar to this. If this isn't your thing, no one's forcing you to listen, but this is the way we're going to do it. It's my podcast. I'm going to do it exactly how I want to. So, that's what's going to happen. Anyways, love you guys. See you next time. Bye.